exactly poor. I mean, there were days where I didn't know how I would feed my kids. There were nights when I brought my kids home to a dark house because the electricity had been cut off. And during those times, my annual income did put me right at the margin of the governmental defined poverty line, but I wasn't poor, at least not by my estimation and understanding of poor. Now, flash forward from that 8 years. I am on a 3-day getaway to North Carolina's Outer Banks. I ate each meal out at some of the best restaurants on that the Outer Banks had to offer. One of them had seafood that was so fresh and local that the names of the people who caught it were listed on the menu right next to each meal. Now, that's pretty fresh. It also happened to be a little expensive. And then I went on a sailboat ride on a 55-foot topsail schooner. And as the salty ocean spray bounced off the bow, I caught glimpses of the once nearly extinct osprey and scanned the waters for dolphins. It's not like I was wealthy. I had found a pretty good deal that allowed me to do those things. And part of that deal was an in-room massage. Now, as I lay in my private room at the bed and breakfast where I was enjoying the stay and having the tension relieved from my back as I had a rub down from a professional masseuse, I contemplated what I'd say in a book that I had been asked to contribute to. My chapter was on poverty. Now, I hope the irony of that makes you as uncomfortable as it made me. I thought back to those evenings when I would literally pick my kids up from elementary school and then run a bunch of fake errands right up until their bedtime so that when I arrived back at the house, I could just walk straight in and tuck them into bed without having to flip on a light switch and thus revealing my inability to pay the bill. I thought about the evenings when, were it not for an intuitively timed bag of groceries left at my door by my mother, this 30-something father then would not have been able to feed his own kids. Then I realized I was thinking all of these things while receiving an in-room massage at a quaint bed and breakfast. Talk about disparity. In less than 10-year span of my life, I had moved from near poverty to being reasonably comfortable. And the irony of writing a chapter on poverty from the place of comfort in my life rather than from the more than uncomfortable place in my life, well, that did not escape me. It set me to thinking a great deal about the relationship of being poor to access to resources and influence and upward mobility. As I lie there on my padded table, I had two conflicting thoughts. The first thought was, a person who could afford a 3-day getaway complete with a 55-foot topsail schooner ride should not assume to be an authoritative voice to any degree about poverty. And the second thought was, when I was actually on the poverty line, no one was really interested in what I thought about poverty. The irony of poverty. During my financially difficult years, I was in divinity school. So, not surprisingly, I turned to the Bible to make some sense of the tough times. And I came to the conclusion that I wasn't poor, as I said earlier. I was just broke. I was, by definition, near the poverty line. But I wasn't poor. Biblically, the poor are those who are oppressed, those who are afflicted and lack justice in their lives, those who are in need and are helpless with no access to power, those who are unable to support themselves, and many other similar conditions. As I read about the poor in the Bible, a theme emerged. The poor are those who lack in some essential human need. And I would argue they are therefore that they lack some basic human right. Now, for most of us, the mention of human needs brings up the thoughts of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, with essentials being found, with the essentials, foundationals, needs being the psychological needs of shelter and water and food and clothing and the like. Now, not surprisingly, either by knowledge or instinct, these are some of the very cues to which we look to in order to understand poverty. Now, based on the biblical perspective that I just mentioned, I don't believe that these are true cues, the measuring sticks by which we should try to understand poverty. When I could not feed my children without outside help, I can tell you without any doubt or hesitation, I was not the poor of which the Bible speaks. Lack of food did not point to my being impoverished. My personal experience, my research, and reflections on it tell me that while they can sometimes be reasons for poverty, lack of these basic needs is more like a symptom of poverty. They are more indicative of poverty than causal of poverty. I could go through all of Maslow's list of basic human needs and speak directly to how a lack of each of them can lead to poverty, but I think it's more important to just recognize that there is a human relationship, that there is a relationship between basic human needs like security of employment, health, family, friendship, respect, problem solving, those kinds of things. There is a basic relationship between those needs and access to resource, influence, and upward mobility. And as I mentioned, even during the difficult times in my life, I was not poor. I mean, I was a graduate student at Wake Forest University. I had access to education, problem solving. I had respect, friends, family, health care, and most likely, security of employment. And because of the presence of these and other basic human needs, I did not lack in access to resources and influence. Upward mobility. I just couldn't temporarily feed my kids without some help. And then, because of the presence of these things and other basic human needs in my life, 8 years later, I'm sailing off the coast of North Carolina and eating chocolate-covered strawberries after my massage. That's why access to resources, influence, and upward mobility are such key elements in the consideration of poverty. Your life may fit the measurements of poverty, but if you have access to certain things, then you also have the means to move from a place that seems to be measurable poverty to a place and a position where you can fulfill those basic human needs. The poor are denied that basic human right. The right to improve their lives without unnecessary obstacles. The right to realize real justice, not just to receive charity. The right to have a real reason to hope. Tamara and I have a wonderful little garden in the side of our yard. We're putting in a number of flower beds around the house as well. They're already becoming quite beautiful. But we know from experience that we will have to work diligently if we want to keep them that way. You see, we have this little problem that you've all probably experienced as well. Every time we turn around, there's weeds growing in those beds. Now, we could just go out and grab them and pull them up. And pretty quickly, those beds would look beautiful again. But what we leave behind, the root, will surely begin to grow again, recreating the problem. Any gardener will tell you the trick is to get at the root of the problem. So, if there's enough for everyone in this world, but everyone doesn't have enough, and given the fact that almost all great spiritual leaders tell us to do something about it, well, we really need to understand the root of the problems. We need to understand what it is so that we can put an end to it. Now, one of those great spiritual leaders was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a voice crying out against racism and classism. Those were the battles of his day. When you look at his theology, though, you see a larger picture emerging. He was interested in issues of justice. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Justice seeks to ensure that people are not hindered in pursuing basic human needs. Biblical justice insists we are all created equally in the image of God, and we all are to be given equal ground for living into the likeness of God that is uniquely in us. And anything that prevents us from lovingly pursuing it is counter to justice. Dr. King was a voice that cried out for millions of people who were being prevented from living life as fully as they deserve. People who still cry out for justice today. In the U.S., Dr. King saw social, corporate, and political systems that were growing in ways which produced divisions much more than they produced equality. Hopefully nobody's surprised by that. See, systems designed by the powerful tend to ensure that they remain powerful. Be they unconquerable paperwork, uncalled for restrictions, unwarranted requirements, unchecked powers, or unjustifiable expenses. These systems place unnecessary mountains in front of people who are only trying to meet their basic human needs. And limiting people's ability to meet their basic human needs, the system, rather than solving the problem of poverty, actually promotes it. The systems that govern our nation, systems which claim to make the American dream accessible for everyone, and even systems intended to help those in need, have become stumbling blocks for those who don't have access to resources, influence, and upward mobility. If those whom Jesus would call the least of these ever hope to overcome poverty, they must face insurmountable obstacles that are actually designed into the system. Those bureaucratic obstructions keep the poor in their place. They deny access to resources, influence, and upward mobility. That's not helpful. It's not even compassionate. Dr. King had this to say about it. True compassion is more than flipping a coin to the beggar. It comes to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. The system's broke. In a nation that proclaims that it is self-evident that all people are created equal, our social, our economic, and our political systems seem to suggest that some people are more equal than others. And at the root of that reality is greed. Greed is not compatible with real justice. It is also not a basic human need. It actually denies basic human needs and the basic human need of morality. In that, it's its own form of poverty, or as Mother Teresa would put it, it is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you may live as you wish. Greed, the love of money and things, is the root of the weed that is poverty. It's time for us to start a little weeding.